Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to our latest podcast. My name is Les Jones. I'm the creative director at Practice Plan, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, sales and marketing director, Mr. Nigel Jones.
Hi, Les.
And today we are going to be talking about business measurement, capturing data within your practice and using that data to forward your business. Before we get into what it means for a practice, Nigel, I presume as sales and marketing director for Practice Plan, business measurement is a hugely important thing in your day-to-day role.
Yeah, absolutely, Les. I mean, one of the things that I have to stay completely close to is the numbers. I have to look at trends over the long term. I have to look at performance in the last few weeks, months. And the sort of measurements that I'm looking at range from how many patients have we signed up to plans, how many patients have cancelled, right the way through to customer satisfaction and various HR-related measures as well.
So it's something that that you obviously know a lot about. Why do you think business measurement is so important for dental practices?
Well, I think something that I've heard so many times during the course of my career and working with dentists and the dental profession is how dentists generally, not all, but generally talk about the fact that they're clinicians first and foremost and not business people. And I think that's very evident in the lack of business measurement that you see in dental practices. Now, one of the reasons why I think that it's something that people should focus on, or certainly focus on a lot more strongly than most of them are currently doing, is because I think it all wraps up into success, really. How successful is your practice? Now, one of the things that I get quite passionate about, and maybe quite a few of the listeners have heard me talk about it before, is actually what does success really mean? So yes, you can measure success in terms of numbers like what is your turnover doing, what is your profitability doing? But actually, I think there's a much broader definition of success that I like to think about when I'm evaluating measurement systems and what benefit they're bringing. Because a lot of practices are finding themselves under intense pressure. When I started working with dentists back in 1990, it was a very, very different world. Had its own pressures then, but the dental world of today, with its regulatory considerations, the contract management issues, particularly if you're an NHS dentist in England, litigation, all of these sorts of things that are there, demands from patients, make the running of a dental practice and the practice management side of things far more complicated and far more intense. And you can see that manifesting itself in a huge amount of stress and, as the BDA have reported, low morale amongst the profession. And I think that the beauty of business measurement is that you get a sense of control over the things you can control, which just helps ease that pressure. It's not that you can control absolutely everything, but a lot of practices don't control the things they can control, and measurement allows you to do that.
So you and I go into a lot of dental practices up and down the country, and despite the fact that we would beat the drum for measurement and capturing that important data that will give you the information that you can make better decisions on, why is it you think that the practices, or a lot of practices, don't actually engage in capturing the right kind of data within their practice and using measurement as a tool in their business?
I think it's partly to do with inclination. It's not necessarily what really excites a practice. I think they're so focused on patient care that takes priority over and above these kind of matters that maybe practices and practice owners don't instinctively think of. Yes, they're very used to measurement when it comes to the clinical side of things, measuring things down to the microns to make sure they get a successful outcome for a patient. But they don't instinctively think about the business side of things. Now, having said that, the point about beating the drum is absolutely right, because I have been going on about this for quite a few years now. And I think that part of the difficulty is taking some time out to actually change the way in which you work. It's one of my favourite little anecdotes, which people may have heard before, which is from, actually, it's the very opening lines of the Winnie the Pooh stories. when Christopher Robin is coming down the stairs, dragging Edward Bear, his toy bear, down the stairs, bump, 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 on the back of his head. Edward Bear knows there's a better way of coming down the stairs if only he could stop bumping for long enough to think of it. And I think that's the case with a lot of practices. They almost need a pause button so they can then take some time out to start embedding a new habit and a new way of working. But that's very, very difficult to do.
Yeah. And I suppose the fact that a lot of practices don't engage with capturing the right kind of detail and analysing that data means in many ways they're kind of driving blind within their business a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you should use that expression, because one of the analogies I draw in terms of draw upon in terms of the value of business measurement is without knowing some of the key performance indicators, some of the key measures, how things are going within the business side of the practice, it's the equivalent to taking a car journey blindfold when you can't see the dashboard, and therefore you can't see how fast you're going, how much fuel you've got left, what the revs are doing, all of these sorts of things. If you couldn't see those measures, that would be a particularly stressful journey. And I think that's why I see measurement as being far more than just improving the financial performance of a practice. That's very, very important. But de-stressing the journey on which someone's going on as they take their practice forwards.
So what would you say for a busy practice are the key things that they should be measuring, the big building blocks, if you like, that they should put in place first that will give them the most information and impact in their practice?
Well, I think it's... Well, the slightly cop-out answer to that would be is it depends on the vision of the practice, because it depends on where they want their practice to be in a few years' time as to what is the most important thing to be measuring. So if they're turning themselves into a referral centre, you would measure different things if you're focusing on family-based dentistry. So in terms of the sort of suite of measurement that you would need to introduce, it very much depends on the type of practice that you're trying to shape. Now, having said that, to be more specific, one of the things I think that is so important is to focus on the financial side of the practice. Relatively few practices have monthly management accounts. At Practice Plan, we pore over our monthly management accounts every month. We have to write up a report to explain and interpret what those figures are telling us. And it allows us to keep our finger on the pulse and to plan for going forward. You know, maybe things have gone better than we expected, maybe some things have gone slightly worse, but we can make slight adjustments to our day-to-day tactics to reflect what that information is giving. And I think that would be, for me, one of the most important starting points is looking at the financials. And in some respects, the financial side of things is the foundation for all decision making. Andy McDougall talks a lot about decision making accounting, and I think that's right. What you need to be able to do is make good decisions, confident decisions, based on some real data to help inform what your gut instinct is probably already telling you. So I think starting with the financials, having monthly management accounts, having a cash flow forecast, for me that would be a really important starting point.
And what would be the benefits to the principal dentist or the practice manager in having all of those figures to hand at the end of each month?
Well, I mentioned before about the importance of decision making, and I think that's the thing that's critical. I've had conversations with practices where they've spoken about being unsure whether or not they could afford to give their team a pay rise. They felt like they'd worked very hard and that they felt the practice was doing quite well, but they weren't quite clear whether or not, A, they could afford to give one at all, and B, if they could, how much could they afford to give? Now, if you're right on top of your figures, you know exactly how the practice is performing. That's not a matter of debate, really. You'll be able to tell what you can afford straight away. But equally, down to simple things, like one of the areas that I think is interesting for us is we do patient finance. And that helps people overcome the objection that treatment plans may be too expensive. But what we see is with NHS practices that are using patient finance, they stop using patient finance for sort of February, March time of every year, primarily because what they're trying to do is make sure they don't miss their UDA targets and therefore run the risk of some kind of clawback. Now, if you're on top of exactly how well you're doing against UDAs, then, and I am obviously speaking about English practices here, but you shouldn't actually fall into that situation, because you should be able to spread the workload out quite effectively rather than discovering with only 2 or 3 months to go that actually you've fallen much, much further behind.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things where you can make specific decisions about what's going on in the practice.
So for a practice that's taken on board a lot of things that you're saying today, and is thinking, well, yes, I'd like to get going in terms of recording more detail from a financial perspective within my practice. How should they start to go about it? Where do they start?
It depends on how much they want to embrace this. Now, in many ways, I think the ideal thing is to consult with someone that's got specific skills and experience in this. And there are a number of people out there that would be able to help practices really get under the skin of what's driving the financial performance of their practice. But if you just want to dip a toe in the water, then another good place to start is with your practice management software. Most of them have got reams of management information reports that can be provided. Most practices don't know how to extract that information, let alone read it. So I would start with the training side of things with your practice management software providers. But you can even do some things a lot more basic level that can already start to have an impact without being terribly sophisticated. So just monitoring things like where new patients have heard of you will help give you a sense of where your marketing efforts are best directed. Now, I should just clarify that a little bit in that it's one thing taking a number of telephone calls from people who are able to say, yes, I heard about you through friends or because I saw your signage or because I Googled you and found your website or because I saw an advert that you'd taken out. Mm-hmm. That's useful. But you then really need to be able to track it all the way through to be able to see how many of those people actually became paying patients of the practice, contributing financially to the practice. Because you can have reams of patient inquiries generated from a high-profile advert, but if actually they all fall at the first hurdle and they don't turn into regularly attending patients of the practice, then it was valueless. So I think actually staying on top of things like the patient journey, you can do through just a tally sheet at reception where you're able to monitor just how many people have come in. I've seen people use whiteboards where they actually put this kind of information up in the staff room so that people can see it. And it doesn't take much more than the calculator to be able to start working out, okay, so we had X number of inquiries and we got Y number of appointments from that. So obviously you can work out a percentage conversion rate then and that will help you understand whether or not it's a decent source of inquiries. And also, and this is one of the things that I think is so important, which part of the patient journey you should be focusing your attention on if you want to improve things. Mm-hmm. Because the danger is it's very easy to jump to the conclusion that what you need to do is generate more patient inquiries. You need more marketing out there and just to jump to solutions and get straight out there trying to raise the profile mm-hmm. of the practice. But actually, that may not be the issue. The issue may be how confident and skilled your front desk team are at taking those inquiries through to an appointment. It might be even more basic than that. It might be something like, actually, how many new patient inquiry calls are you missing? Mm-hmm. Do you track how many of your telephone calls go unanswered? And most telephone systems should be able to give you that sort of information. So that sort of thing doesn't require anything terribly sophisticated. Really, it's just paper and a calculator, or if you want to, an Excel spreadsheet. And although I've spoken to numerous practice managers who are not very confident when it comes to using Excel, actually, if you go on the web, there's all sorts of kind of self-help guides on YouTube and things, and you'd be able to teach yourself the basics that you need for that in a very straightforward way.
So, what you've evidenced there is it's one thing to capture all that information and those numbers and the finances coming in, but that's only worthwhile if you do something with it. And again, we both go into practices where those things are being recorded, but then they're just put in a drawer and kind of forgotten about till next month. So a lot of the value in business measurement is actually in the interpretation of the figures that you're getting. How do you think it's best to do that? Is it a kind of a monthly meeting to actually go through the figures? Do you think the whole team should be involved in looking at those things?
Yeah, very much so. I definitely believe the whole team should be involved. It is about making decisions, really, all of this. It won't necessarily, and I do tend to say this, that the answers don't necessarily immediately make the decision for you, because actually you need to interpret it quite carefully. And sometimes what actually the data is giving you is the right questions to ask rather than necessarily the answers. Mm. And the way that you should go about interpreting it to make sure that you are asking the right questions is, in my opinion, with the team. And that's for a couple of reasons. Firstly, they're often the ones that are doing the data capture or the data entry into practice management software or into your tally sheet or into an Excel spreadsheet. They need to be fully bought into why a practice is doing this, how it can benefit them, and why they need to do it properly. Because you need quality data if you're going to make quality decisions. So you need people to completely understand the importance of it and embrace it and go with it, knowing it's for the greater good of the practice. And also, because they're a little bit closer, I think it's important to involve them in interpreting the data, because they may be able to spot something that you couldn't see because you're a little bit further removed. And I think through discussion with the team, I've seen this happen a number of times in a number of practice meetings, they've realized that actually the specific reason for a particular trend that had been noticed in the figures was something that, that hadn't occurred to them immediately. And it was only, only through discussion that it became apparent.
So we've talked about, you know, the need for recording this information within your practice. And obviously, when you're recording that, that's a kind of a here and now thing or a historical thing. Do you think that the business measurement should also be used for goal setting, for setting targets for the practice and the team?
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to do. Is I mean, particularly if you take the monthly management accounts, which I've mentioned a few times, that should consist of, figures against a target for that year, but then also potentially, how did you perform compared to last year? Now, comparing to last year is only relevant to a degree, because you may have introduced a different service, you may have adopted a different strategy. So there's a limit to how valuable a comparison with the previous year can be. But just as a sense check to make sure that you're broadly on line with things, a comparison to the previous year and a comparison to the target that you've set, which should be in line with your vision. So if you've got a view of where you want the practice to be in 3, 4, 5 years' time, roughly mapped out what it would take to get it there, and then just compare how you're doing towards that. Because then you can fine-tune that strategy and make sure that you're not making a fundamental error of some kind. Now, it might sound quite dramatic language, but just recently I've been speaking to a practice owner who has adopted a number of very successful marketing initiatives that have driven up the turnover of his practice massively. It's actually increased by 6 times, largely through some very effective digital marketing and the introduction of some high value services such as cosmetic dentistry, and within that I mean adult orthodontics and implants, that kind of thing. So pretty high value. Turnover's gone up massively. Profitability's hardly changed at all. And I think that's the important thing, that people can forget that the detail that underpins the financial performance and think, well, actually, if I just get more patients in, that will automatically equate to more profitability. Well, no, if your goal, if your strategy is to improve the profitability of the practice and therefore improve its value when you come to sell the practice, you need to be focused on all aspects of it every month, just to make sure that you're staying on track and you aren't just being seduced by how much your turnovers are improving rather than the profitability.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to wrap it up, I suppose we should mention one thing that is a great place for practice plan clients to start and start to look at some numbers and some data, and that's the online services that we provide in terms of their patient plan.
Yeah, well, I mean, an awful lot of practices are recognising now that having a substantial plan base, a membership base, is very helpful for all sorts of reasons. There's clinical benefits for the patient because they attend on a more regular basis. There's loads of anecdotal studies that show that that happens. So from a prevention point of view, having a large plan base, I think, is very important. But also in terms of the cash flow of the practice, it helps smooth that, take some of the peaks and troughs out a bit. In terms of the longer term value of the practice, quite a few people are reporting the fact that plan-based practices could end up being worth 5 or 10% more than pay-as-you-go based practices. Yeah. And I think that's to do with the patient loyalty, that having a direct debit-based relationship with the practice, all these sorts of things, lots of good reasons why you should have a number of patients on a membership plan. And using things like the online services that practice plan produce allows you to stay on top of that and be certain as to what's going on. Now, sometimes people think the problem is we're not signing up enough patients onto a plan. Other times people think it's we're actually seeing too many cancel for whatever reason. Well, if you can get into the detail, you can find out which of those two it really is, which is making the difference to your plan base, and then focus your attention on a strategy for retaining patients more effectively, or potentially changing the new patient journey to accommodate introduction of the plan as an option to patients more vigorously and more routinely than perhaps was done the case before. So if you've got access to that information through online services, please, please use it.
Great. Wise words, Nigel, as always, and fascinating stuff about business measurement. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for all of your knowledge and experience. And thanks again for listening, if you are listening, and we'll catch you next time.